This hour is brought to you by The Pint. Get your green on and celebrate St. Patrick's Day with $5 Guinness and $4 Jamesons only at The Pint, 277 Front Street West.
It's Mail It In Friday.
I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Yeah, it's Mail It In Friday.
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
So what?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Of all people in this world, you're telling me you are not right back on the bandwagon and you have weekend plans figured out that will not include watching him play every single hole over the weekend?
My kids don't know that they're not going skiing Sunday afternoon. Because I have to watch.
Well, you can get out there in the morning, right? Because if he keeps playing like this, he'll tee off around 2:30, 2:45.
Yeah, but their ski lessons are 1 till 3.
You can get back for the back nine. You're going to watch every single stroke.
I may or may not have had lunch and said, put the golf channel on at the restaurant because I need to know what's going on.
I found myself doing the same thing.
But isn't it unbelievable? Like, I'm pretty sure they brought a crew into the Golf Channel studio, Billy Kratzer and Trevor Immelman,
because
they usually aren't there in the middle of the day.
Well, I was watching this morning on the Golf Channel, and I'm not a big Golf Channel guy. I'm not.
I am.
I know you're on there all the time. I really don't go there a lot. By the way, Jonas Siegel's in here from The Athletic.
We always go into a long intro, and you forget to introduce her, buddy.
But I always, I just assume Jonas isn't a Tiger guy. Or
I'm
isn't,
not. Yeah, no, so, I'm not a golf guy.
I knew you weren't going to have much to contribute here.
Yeah, no, it's fair. Continue. You guys can keep chatting.
Well, I put on the Golf Channel this morning. I was up early, and they had committed ahead of time to show the European Tour. There's some
tournament. They gassed it?
No. But you could tell, I could sense it.
That they wanted to get away from it.
They were dying to cut away because the morning drive began, I believe, at 10 a.m.
Well, you know, doing TV now, there's a guy in your ear. There would be somebody in somebody's ear saying,
pull the plug.
Pull the plug.
Like he's
got to get
lead.
Back to Florida because Tiger Woods is on the golf course.
He's in the lead down the road, and we're showing some plug playing a tournament in Sweden or something like that.
Svensson putting for triple bogey.
What are we
get
doing?
Get this guy off.
Get him off the Golf Channel.
Did you not notice in the coverage, Brian, when Tiger Woods is on the leaderboard, they put that leaderboard up there.
Oh, dude. And it's,
every 3 minutes.
It's a bigger font. Too. It's a larger font.
Okay, you're lying now.
I'm telling you, it's a larger font. When
what,
Tiger's
his name
in the lead.
Or the whole leaderboard?
The whole leaderboard.
No, it's not.
Like, put this into perspective. This is where we can bring Jonas in here as a Canadian. Card-carrying Canadian.
Jonas
you love
should
being
not be a
Canadian.
Part of this conversation. He doesn't even know what we're talking about.
But here's something that he can get involved in. There is currently a Canadian sitting atop the leaderboard at the Valspar. Corey Connors is 7-under on the tournament. 7-under. How many Canadian golf fans, or just Canadians, actually want to see him win over Tiger Woods?
I think 20%. Lower?
I'm lower than that. Lower than that.
You think they'd rather have Tiger win?
I'd rather Tiger win than Corey Connors.
So back nine, these guys are even. What percentage, maybe we'll throw a poll out there, what percentage of Canadians want to see the Canadian win or Tiger Woods? I think I'd hit Tiger Woods.
Like, is that treason to say that? Is that treason, Jonas?
It seems a little greasy, isn't it? Why do you?
If
want...
it was my buddy Graham Dillette, I would say Graham Dillette.
Why are you?
Because I know him.
Why are you rooting for Tiger? Just because you want to see him get back on top?
Have
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Ever in your life seen an athlete rebound and be so popular? There was a tweet out today of a little kid who got an autograph from Tiger Woods and he started crying.
He shut down the PGA Tour live feed. Because the tournament was not being televised live in the States, or up here, I believe, and you can go to PGATour.com. It was
this
like,
guy was,
it was shut down.
Down
there were so many
in
people
Denny's
on it.
Years ago.
Perkins. Perkins Diner was
Perkins.
His go-to. Tiger loved the parking lot at a Perkins.
Why?
Can you imagine Tiger Woods?
Oh, no.
What do you mean, why, Jonas?
I got
he doesn't
there
even
when
know.
I was a
he
kid.
Doesn't even know.
Do you actually not know, like,
I don't know
that
the story.
Reference?
No, I don't know the story.
He was
I'm
getting
a,
laid
a...
in the... parking lot of Perkins.
What planet have you been living
while
on for the past decade?
While his supermodel wife was
really
looking after the children.
Yeah, she'd be down the road and he'd be at the Perkins Diner firing things up with, I don't know, waitresses, porn stars.
Huh.
You didn't hear about this?
No. Nowadays,
come on,
I don't know.
What are you, living under a rock? You have to know about this.
No, I knew like the very
basic outline.
This guy's
getting down and dirty at Perkins and you're sleeping.
You're telling me you had no interest in that story?
Not really.
You had no interest in that story?
I'm not a golf fan, so why would I care?
Dude, this was a national, was a worldwide.
Dude, this was pop
this
culture.
This was leading
but,
everything. The news.
Everything.
But nowadays, like, you can kind of pick and choose what you get into.
But why would you not be captivated by that Tiger Woods
story?
Because
do I care about his affairs and, I don't know, it didn't interest me.
Interest me?
I was captivated by it all.
But let me ask you this, what would happen if he was, like, suddenly good again? Like, what would happen to golf?
That's what we're going to find out this weekend. You could say, I know you're all fired up and our boss is all fired up. What he does tomorrow afternoon in the spotlight with the pressure is going to mean a lot about what this actually means. Because you remember that donkey tournament he was, his own tournament. He shot like 3 under on the front nine, and then the odds in Vegas for him winning the Masters went nuts.
Well, that's what's happening right now. People are falling into the trap, actually believing that Vegas thinks he's going to win the Masters. Vegas doesn't think that. Vegas just understands everyone's so horny about Tiger right now. It's true. We talked about what happened down at Kansas City with the Royals.
I don't know why the word horny makes me laugh.
Well, it fit in this context.
The anti-pornography seminar that went down in Kansas City. Golf geeks need to be subjected to an anti-Tiger porn seminar because they can't handle themselves. He's played 36 holes. He's not even in the lead, and people are passing
out. There's guys from Barstool that have, like, T-shirts. Make Sundays great again, and there's a picture of Tiger.
It's all Tiger.
But I talked to somebody today, and I was doing a phone-in for Edmonton Radio, and we were talking about the leaderboard. Sometimes on a Sunday, I'll go to the leaderboard. I don't even know anybody, Brian. I turn it off because I'm like, I don't even know these guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The Sony Open, and this guy is a member at my buddy's course down in Georgia where I'm going next week. He was leading the tournament. I'm like, I don't want to see this guy win.
So you had a connection to the guy, and you still didn't care.
Not a connection, but I could easily meet him on the range in 10 days when I'm down there. You got to see this golf course. It's so sick.
Where? Down in Georgia?
Yeah.
Why? You always go down there. Like, what is it about Georgia that, like, unless you're
one
playing
of my best friends is a doctor down there, and we play golf together.
Why don't you meet halfway? Meet in, like, North Carolina.
Really? It's a little bit nicer in Georgia, is it not?
Based on what?
Weather?
Like, I think it's pretty nice in the Carolinas right now, isn't it?
That was my least favorite city to go to in the NHL, Atlanta. Did you like it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, probably different nightlife.
Buckhead?
Yeah, it's the peeler capital in the United States, outside of Vegas.
I had a girlfriend at a peeler joint there, Cheetahs. Amazing.
You can email us live at tsn1050.ca. I knew this was coming. Pain emailing in saying, man, the Tiger talk is so boring. You guys are way over the top. Overdrive has an obsession with him. He's done. He's past it. He's not relevant anymore.
He might be right. If
he is relevant based on what everyone's talking about today. The guy had two great rounds, and he's the talk of the sports world.
Well, I know he's relevant at tournaments. I told you that at the Honda, I talked to somebody that's involved with the tournament, and they said when this guy signs up, it's triple everything. We have to get triple everything. Triple burgers, triple dogs, triple booze.
Mm-hmm.
The ratings are outrageous. It's like this guy shows up.
Oh, the Valspar, he's never played
here. This guy played 2 days with Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth must be looking around saying, how come this wasn't happening for me when I was walking around destroying guys?
He's a plug in that
he was,
threesome.
People were,
he's
like,
a plug.
Spieth, just hit it and get out of the way.
Yeah, honestly.
Jordan Spieth, they were like, sir,
please hit it and leave me alone.
We talked about this when you show up and the third guy wants to join in and we're just like,
That's what
the fans were like, just get out of here.
Honestly, Jordan Spieth. 3-time major winner, basically the heir to Tiger and Phil. Like, he's the next coming of those guys and completely irrelevant. Now, he's not playing that well, but completely irrelevant. It's all about Tiger.
They didn't show one of his shots. They showed him chopping around a little bit, and that was it. It was like, get this guy off the
They're
TV.
Like, can you just putt out and, like, go? Get the hell out of the way. Tiger's up. It's incredible.
The worst thing on the PGA Tour, by the way, is not playing with them, the group ahead. Because everyone just starts swarming to the next, and the guys are just like, really, did you have to move in my backswing, this and like?
I could see that.
The guys playing in the group ahead of Tiger Woods say it is a nightmare.
Although, how deflating for your confidence would it be to be the group behind him?
And everybody and leaves?
Everyone just leaves. It's just a herd of people ahead of you, and they're never waiting for you to shoot.
Yeah, you immediately go to Tam O'Shantern.
Hey, wait. I'm shooting.
Yeah, it's like, hold up, I'm pretty good.
And like
good.
Everybody's flooding forward and they don't even want to watch you.
No.
You could be dialed in.
You could hit someone in the back and they wouldn't turn around to see who hit them. You could hit some guy in the back with a Pro V and he wouldn't turn around because he's trying to get ahead to the next shot for Tiger. Rockets-Raptors tonight. We've got it for you right here on TSN Radio. And we've been talking about this leading up to this game, about what it means, what kind of message it can send. It's all intangibles that continue to be brought up. The truth is, there's something tangible on the line tonight. Boston won again last night. Golden State won again last night. These two teams are playing for home court, and they need it. Houston needs home court against Golden State if they want to beat them in the Western Final. And the Raptors absolutely need home court if they're going to beat LeBron, which they're going to get. They're so far ahead of Cleveland. But also Boston, who is starting to come around again. Like, they won last night, and they're playing well. That was a tough win in Minnesota. So there is something tangible on the line. Now, I think we keep getting caught up in these messages that are going to be sent and statements.
Well, I'm not like you. I'm not buying into the, like, I don't believe in the statement game. It's like,
but I'm saying you got to win.
Show up and compete against a good team. Just maybe see where you're at, but to say, oh, maybe they're not ready or maybe they're not this.
I think maybe within your own conference, it can mean something. They're not going to play Houston again until June if they do.
But does it? Like, they stomped Cleveland a couple months ago?
Yeah.
Would we care about that in May?
Well, I think maybe it said something about Cleveland, though.
Yeah, like, let's be honest. They were a tire fire.
The shine is off, like, Cleveland here. Like, like right after the trade deadline, everyone was jumping back on the bandwagon.
One game, remember that?
They went into Boston and smoked Boston, and then they went into Oklahoma City, I believe, and beat up on Oklahoma City, and everyone was like, I knew it. Rodney Hood and Nance Jr. Yeah, George Hill, these guys were exactly what was needed here. Cleveland's back to being the best team in the NBA. There were takes coming out 48 hours after the trade deadline, suggesting Cleveland is now better than Golden State. That's how crazy it got. And now they're back to having struggles and having issues. And the Raptors, I think, if they were to face Cleveland in the playoffs, have to feel much more confident than they ever have.
Yeah.
Have to. But that said, LeBron, he's not going to be nervous coming into Toronto. He's not going to be nervous going into Boston. He's LeBron James. He's been to seven straight NBA finals.
But he doesn't have the same quality of teammates that he had before. Like, there's no Kyrie.
He may not be as confident in his help, but he's going to be confident in what he can do.
I'll tell you what, guy, of all athletes, I don't know if you guys remember this. It was a series when he was with the Heat and they were playing San Antonio. It was basically
all... It was done.
No, but it was LeBron.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was just get him the ball, and nobody else even touched it, and he was going to do whatever he wanted. I'm like, I've never seen a one-man show like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he could do it at this age he's at right now, but it was incredible to watch.
Well, think about what he did. Like, again, to hammer home the point that he is not going to be concerned with having to go on the road in Game 1, Game 2, Game 5, Game 7. Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago, Golden State won 73 games. They were up 3-1 in the NBA Finals.
And lost.
And lost. And LeBron took the Cavs into Golden State and won Game 5 and Game 7 in their building.
But that's not now.
But it still is for him, though.
It would still haunt somebody where you're thinking, I don't want that guy to have that opportunity to do that.
Absolutely. And the Raptors are not that Golden State team either.
My only
They're not even
comparison
close.
Is Scott Stevens. I've seen what he's done to people time and time again, and every time I saw him in warm-up, I'm like, I'm not letting that guy do that to me.
Right.
Because I'm just not doing it. And it makes you think about... He made you think about him, which is the worst thing ever.
And that's what tonight can offer the Raptors. James Harden is likely a lock for the MVP. He's torching teams league-wide. Chris Paul's been brilliant for them. Use this as a chance to prepare yourself for when you play LeBron, when you play Kyrie Irving. Because these two guys and what the Rockets represent right now is the best of the best Like, they've won 17 in a row. And now Steph Curry's ankle is flared up again, and all of a sudden the complexion of the West might be changing a bit.
Okay, but so let's say they beat the Rockets. Does anything change in the conversation that we're having about the Raptors? To me, it doesn't. Like, it's nice.
I think it only the only thing it'll do, Jonas, is it might get some people's attention, whether it be south of the border. They might say, oh, maybe these guys are for real. They took down this team that's won 17 in a row. Mm-hmm.
And it'll be the second time this year they beat Houston.
That's right, because they were kind of, I think they were not playing very well. And they went into Houston early in the year, and they beat him down.
That was the statement. They won by double digits in Houston, and the Rockets had won like 12 or 13 in a row at that point. But it's a big game tonight again on TSN 1050. We'll tee it up throughout the afternoon. The Leafs are finally back in action tomorrow. What a strange week for them. There's no Leaf buzz in
this town.
It's
16 minutes, and we just started talking about the Leafs.
There's no Leaf buzz, though. Like, there's nothing going on. They're just kind of...
Try covering it these days. There's nothing going on.
Because you know that they're going to the playoffs.
Yeah, it's weird.
They've got 14 games left, and you wait for Matthews to return. That'll be a big spark once he does, but it's not going to happen.
Jersey today again, just FYI.
I don't think he's coming back for at least another week and a
10
half.
Days, doesn't
it? Yeah, he's not.
Like, they play three times next week. I don't think he's playing in any of those games.
Well, so they play tomorrow. He won't play then. They probably won't practice Sunday. Maybe he practices Monday. Can you practice once and then play?
I think Babcock has a thing where he wants, like, two, like, contract or contact practices.
Remember he made the exception for Morgan Rielly, though?
Yeah, that didn't work out well, though. But and that was an ankle injury.
He made the exception. Rielly didn't have a full practice, and he stepped in and played.
It's also different with the team these days. Like, the sports science guys, they're in control. Like, they make the decision, not Mike. Which is different from when you played. Like, I was going to ask you in...
if Pat Quinn ever got a note from a sports science guy...
It's different now. So that's like... I was going to ask you this yesterday.
Wipe his rear end with it and throw it in the garbage.
I think it's different now. I don't think the coach is... I don't think he gets the same say. Like, how much would you be pressured by coaches?
Well, he obviously doesn't get the same say, because if it was his choice, Matthews would be in the lineup right now.
Yes. But, like, would you get pressured by coaches when you were hurt to come back? Like, what would they do?
Yeah, Peter Laviolette. I tore my labrum, and I was in the training room, and Peter Laviolette walks in and goes, how come you're not playing? I have a torn labrum, too. I go, yeah, very funny, smart guy. You're a coach. You're a coach. I go, what do you want me to do? Go out there and just my arm fall off my body? That was his line to me, though. How come you're not playing tonight? I have a torn labrum. I can go out there. I go, yeah, you're a coach, though. What the hell do you want me to do?
That's such a ridiculous
comment. And that was the beginning
of
me hating his guts for a long time.
Is that over with now? You're cool with Laviolette? Well, shame on Babcock if that were to be his reaction.
Well, no, who knows if this
and
is true.
But
he
says this is a hypothetical,
but that he doesn't want to get involved anymore.
He shouldn't.
He might, but he says he doesn't.
He shouldn't, especially with Matthews. Like, with any player. But how stupid would it be for you to be this far into the playoffs, this comfortable, and to send off a panicked message by suggesting you have to rush back your best player?
That's dumb.
That would be silly. But I think we all think more of Mike Babcock.
But Brian, the mentality in the locker room is, I mean, I've been on teams in training camp where there's a losing streak and like meetings where it's like, guys, we kind of, like in training camp.
Like, we need you back, basically?
No, we need to get this together because we're really brutal right now.
But they're in no man's land in the league.
I know,
like,
I get it, but sometimes
the
just for the psyche of the team, everybody's thinking, we kind of got to get this back on the rails here.
Yeah.
There's four losses. We're not playing that well defensively. Our goaltender looks tired. He is tired, whatever he is. You want to get it back on track, because the last thing you want, it's all about how you feel. When you're feeling good and you're winning, you look at the schedule, you're like, I'll take any of these teams on. And when you're playing bad, you're like, I don't want that team.
Well, look who's in town tomorrow night.
Okay, you think they want to see Pitt right now?
No, the champs are in town, and they've won three in a row. They're sitting atop their division now. Like, all of a sudden, Pittsburgh
is Pitt
again, and they're going to end up with home ice in their division, and they're going to play a wild card team, and you have to feel pretty good about where they're at, and they're rolling, and their superstars are playing like superstars. So it's not going to be easy tomorrow. But once you get beyond this, the Leafs do have a pretty easy, light schedule coming home.
It's not light. That's wrong.
Well, they have 14 games left.
Yeah, but like after this stretch, I think it's like 13 in 25 days.
Okay,
that's not nothing.
Compared to what Florida's got, compared to what Boston's got, compared to what they had a year ago?
Sure. And they're playing, like you mentioned the other day, it's like Montreal twice, Buffalo.
Detroit, Buffalo three times. More times.
So,
you know, they've got a and they got a lot of home games. 9 of their final 14 are at home.
So I know you guys talked about this yesterday. I can't understand why you wouldn't cut down Anderson's workload. I don't understand that at all.
I think tomorrow will say a lot because he's had basically a full week off.
Yeah.
Like tomorrow will say a lot. Where are you at? Because your numbers have been bloated the past month.
Yeah.
I know you keep saying the right things and you're telling people you're all good and there's no reason to
it's like
challenge
the number
that.
One guy is your guy though. Like when you think about facing an opposition, Toronto Maple Leafs, who's in net? Freddie Anderson. That's that's how I structure my team. When you're coaching, you're thinking for me to win this game and game play, Freddie Anderson's going to be back there. It's
for
just
sure.
One of those things.
But like, what about the rest of the schedule? Like, why not look ahead and be like that Monday game against Florida?
I agree with you.
Punt that.
Because, like I just said, they are on an island unlike any other team in the league. Yes. Because now, with this break, Boston's won 5 in a row again. Tampa's won 4 in a row. They're gone.
They're gone.
Boston's 7 up on them with 3 games in hand. It's over. They're not getting home ice in the first round.
No.
And Florida won again last night, and they've got a bit of a light schedule. They get the Rangers coming in. They got a couple of teams. But they're still 12 points behind the Leafs. They're not catching Toronto. So... the Leafs are just...
Please don't say that, because 12 points... You just said 12, and it scared the hell out of
but
me. Like,
here's the thing. Let's say Florida...
You guys are talking about putting McElhaney in, and who cares about this?
No, I'm not saying mail
and it's like,
in.
If the Florida Panthers make a charge, this stuff flip-flops.
But hang on. But you got to look like bigger than just this little stretch, and you got to say, okay, are we a team that wants to win a cup? Yes. So then, do these games right now matter so much that we're risking Anderson being... tired when it actually does matter? That's the point. Like, why not, like, in the NBA, they're all about conserving these guys, so in the playoffs...
Jonas, you know that energy. I overreact about everything. You know what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of the big...
Yeah.
The 18-wheeler.
The 18... That scares the hell out of me, and I don't even care that everyone's changed, the personnel has changed. It scares the hell out of me.
But
because as a Toronto sports fan, guess what we've been...
I hear you. We've been tailored to believe that the worst possible outcome is going to end up happening. We've been down it so many times. But they deserve more respect than that. They deserve more of a belief.
Okay. When I'm back from March break and the deficit is 7.
But here's the thing.
But
they're still making the playoffs.
But that's my point. Let's say Florida has a miracle run here. They get 17 games left. They go 15-1-1. The Leafs will be a wild card team.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you're a wild card team. Like, they're getting in, dude. They're at 85 points right now. They get 14 left.
Yeah, you're right.
They
okay.
need probably 10
calm
points.
Me down. You just calm me down.
Right. And
that's
listen,
what I needed. Where's Mullen today?
Mullen's moving today, so we got Chris back there.
Old Mulls loves a Friday kind of wedding.
Well, that's
moving.
The thing. He's claiming he's moving today, but...
Nobody moves on a Friday, do they?
I guess
sold his house like 2 days ago.
That's the thing that I...
What was it? Okay, we'll agree to this, but get the hell out like tomorrow?
That's what I found interesting. Like, that's the beauty of Instagram is we have information.
Yeah.
Like, his beautiful wife, Kina, posted a picture on Instagram a couple of days ago.
Yeah. Hey, sold.
That's a pretty quick turnaround, Mullen.
Yeah.
We're
sold.
On to
Here's
you.
The conditions. You got to get out in 24 hours.
Yeah. You know
never
what it is?
That one before.
It's his last weekend in his garage. That's probably, you know how connected he is to dark whiskey in the garage.
Yep.
And that's what Mullen's doing right now. Cabby's going to join us in studio. He's got a big interview debuting on SportsCenter tonight. We'll get his take on Rockets Raps tonight. Tiger. There's some news out there about Bautista. And
he's not happy with offers, and he might do something that will surprise you.
It would be shocking. We'll tell you about that as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. Apparently, there was some interview conducted back in 06 where he said all these revealing things and indicated that he may have actually committed the homicides, and somehow this tape got lost for 12 years, but it's going to be revealed and like analyzed on Sunday night on Fox. And I don't think OJ affiliated at all with this broadcast, but Soledad O'Brien is going to be hosting it. And she's one of those... Twitter people that follows everybody.
I was just going to say, I should send her a note to see if she wants to come on.
I was thinking of doing it, too. She follows me.
Oh, so...
She follows like 300,000 people.
Oh, forget it.
It's a weird... Like, Bautista does that. Jose Bautista follows like 800,000 people.
What's the point of that? Like, is
I don't know. I don't know. Why would you possibly do that?
How do you have enough time to, like, go through everyone's... Like, you know, when you're just kind of scrolling through Twitter? Like, when you're following 800,000?
And a lot of them are plugs, too. Like... What
bots.
What would Soledad O'Brien possibly want to follow me for?
She's a big fan of the show.
I'm going to send her a DM, see if we can get her on.
Really,
we'll both do it.
Gary's percentages.
You do it and see what happens. Right. Or do you want me to?
We'll both do it and see what happens. See if she responds to only one of us. All right, Cabby in studio in 2 minutes. I'll send her a note, too. We got Cabby in here.
Dude, you can't do that, too, because then it's like two guys are...
All right, you do it, then. You're leading the charge.
She thinks she doesn't know you're on the same show. You can both do it.
Yeah, but what if she agrees to do one of the requests, but then turns down the other one? And
it's good.
Anyway.
And then you guys are on the same show.
Yeah, right. I guess it doesn't really matter.
Well, it might look kind of weird.
Does Soledad O'Brien follow you, Cabby?
I don't believe so. I follow her on Twitter, though.
Really?
Yeah. And I watched her documentary with Ice-T about her, like, who killed Biggie, or no, who killed Tupac. Like,
did,
I don't know.
Did she figure it out?
They came to the same conclusion as the other. There was like another documentary around the same time about the Biggie and Tupac murders, and they came to the same conclusion.
Was it Shug?
No.
Did you see the?
It was not Shug.
Twitter. There was like a Twitter, not a rant, I guess, but some guy put forth a theory as to why he believes Tupac is still alive.
Really?
Did you read that?
No.
But it was kind of freaky how
lots of people believe that. He's in Cuba.
Yeah, but there were a lot of different, like, at first I'm like, these are so stupid, like, they come up all the time. Elvis is still alive, yeah. Whatever. But then I was reading through it, and I'm like, wow, this guy's got a lot of information.
Wait, there's compelling evidence?
Totally.
Really?
Okay. Like, go find it. Like, I would encourage you to find it.
You're on one of those deep dives on, like, YouTube, weren't you? Like rabbit hole just swallowing up for 90 minutes.
Big, big rabbit hole.
Happens to the best of us.
It does. So, okay, take us through this, because on SportsCenter tonight, you're going to, I guess, debut your interview with Bill Murray.
Correct.
You went down to Pebble Beach.
Correct.
And you had a difficult time finding him at first. Like, what happened
here? Yeah, Bill Murray is, like, one of the most elusive Hollywood celebrities around. Like, there's an urban legend that he's got this phone number, and you call it, and you leave a voicemail, and then at some point, Bill Murray might get back to you, but there's no direct access to Bill Murray. So they say. So we knew, my producer, Dave Crickson, I knew that he would be there because he goes to Pebble Beach every year, puts on a show for the fans, plays so-so golf. And he connected. He's been chasing Bill Murray for years, like trying to get this interview. And we connected with the people that run the brand William Murray Golf. So they're like, yeah, you can come to Pebble Beach and hopefully get an interview with Bill Murray. There was a lot of hopefully. So, you know, we shooters got to shoot your shot. So
right.
Jumped on a plane. Land in San Francisco, drive to Pebble Beach, show up there, and just, like, fingers crossed. And, like, so we met up with the people from the brand, William Murray, and they're like, yeah, we saw Bill today. But nobody had told him about the interview, my interview, or asked them about the interview. So I talking to them, kind of small talk, and then talking to his security guys, like, listen, last year, a reporter from CBS just ambushed him after his round, and he was really aggressive about something, so... You know, when you talk to Bill, just introduce yourself, tell him where you're from, and then ask him to do the interview. I'm like, all right. But there was still no one had said anything to Bill.
No guarantees. Like, he could have said, I'm not doing it, and walked away.
100%. So we found this spot after the 18th hole, the players have to walk down around through this parking lot to this house where they hand in their scorecards. I'm like, I'm going to intercept him there. Because half an hour before, I had a conversation with Aaron Rodgers. Like, we tried to interview Aaron Rodgers in that same spot. So I knew it was away from public view. They'd feel a little bit more comfortable, nobody really gawking, and boom. So with that in my back pocket, I felt a little comfortable. And then when Bill came off, I was like, okay, this is the moment. And he was, you know, he's in a good mood. And I was like, hey, my name's Cabby. I'm from Toronto. You know, after you hand in your scorecard, do you mind, you know, a few minutes to do an interview to talk about your clothing brand? And he was like, all right. Well, the car's not here. Right? Well, we can do it right now. I'm like,
right.
All right, cool. And then just... had that shot of adrenaline. I'm like, okay, I gotta go right now. I'm like, oh man, what's my first question? I found it, and then we just went. And like, you guys know, when you're interviewing certainly like legends, the window is very small.
You got
like four or five
when
minutes.
You're dealing with a guy like that, though, were you not concerned? Because I've only done one interview. It was with Wayne Gretzky, And I knew in my head that Wayne Gretzky wouldn't really have kind of a bizarre or weird answer. It would just kind of be
hot. That's very well done, by the way. I think I sent you a message about that.
Yeah.
Very well done.
But when you're interviewing Bill Murray, aren't you kind of concerned where you're like, this guy's going to be so off the charts or so different where I don't even know how to, like, respond or...
Yeah.
Because he's a different dude.
He's a different dude. But that would be awesome. And you know, I wasn't asking sort of the standard, you know, like Caddyshack or... you know, Ghostbusters, or you know, I kind of, or the Chicago Cubs, I kind of shied away from that. I asked about like his happy places, golf court, Wrigley Field, basketball court. You know me, I kind of go in these weird directions. So if he matched me with weirdness, then that would have been awesome. And I, you know, he's a legend. It's just for me, I just want to throw softballs and just have him knock him out of the park because I think that'd be enjoyable for the audience.
Well, you know, he's gonna bring it, right? Like he's,
yeah,
that's why he's there. He's at the pro-am with like the stupid pants on. He's messing around all the time, right?
He's like, got camouflage. He's got a strange hat.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, an old lady too. Yeah.
Really?
Sometimes he wears like different colored gloves. He was. It was quite an experience.
He owns that tournament too. Like, who won it? Ted Potter? Was it Ted Potter Jr. that won that? That was when Ted Potter Jr. was on like the 18th tee box for like 25 minutes,
just ripping a fade up the middle of lefty fade,
playing it safe. But like that's a weird tournament, man, because you get the antics of like guys like Bill Murray and Aaron Rodgers and others that are there. Tony Romo was playing.
Yeah.
But there's actually money on the line. Like the pros are there and they want to win.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a really different atmosphere, I'm sure.
And I think the athletes that are pretty good golfers, like they go, like Verlander was there this year, Rodgers, Larry Fitzgerald, Romo was there.
He's a good player too, Romo.
Yeah, I think Roethlisberger has been there in the past, or maybe he was there too. He's apparently a pretty good golfer too.
Yep.
So, and those guys, I mean, you're an athlete, you're ultra competitive, and golf is one of those. It's like it's almost like the next evolution of many of the athletes as far as their play or competitive playing careers, whatever. I shouldn't say careers, but how they satisfy their.
They shut it down. They start playing golf.
They go play golf.
Their whole offseason. Cabbie's in studio. Watch Cabbie's interview with comedy legend Bill Murray tonight on SportsCenter. Rockets Raps tonight. Are you going to the game? Are you the kind of guy that has to be at like a big game like this? Or
I'm not allowed to be around Chris Paul.
Is that right?
No.
What happened there?
I could see him being the kind of guy who would be tough to interview sometimes.
Listen, man, I interviewed Chris Paul years ago. I have never interviewed him again. So it's like, he was like, this is, I'm sure he threw a mother bleeper in there. I was like, are these seriously your questions? I'm like, yeah, these are my questions.
So he didn't get, like, you were just kind of
having
fun.
No, he wasn't. And it was after a practice, like, it was on the off day, and that's where I generally go to get the players, because it's a little bit looser, it's not like, you know, game day or whatever. And Chris Paul was not having it at all. And so tonight, I'm going to watch, I actually got to fly out west.
I'm not allowed to be around
Chris Paul.
I got to jump on a flight to go out west, but I'll catch it, and I'll try. Hopefully the plane will have Wi-Fi, and I can follow along.
Yeah,
at least on Twitter.
Absolutely. Yeah, Chris Paul, like when he, does he still lead the PA? Like he was like the head of the PA for a while, like the player's representative anyway.
Right, I believe Michelle, what is that?
Roberts.
Yeah, Michelle Roberts, right. She is the director.
She's like
director,
the union
or the,
executive.
But he's like the player head.
Yeah.
See, I believe like, it is Chris Paul, yeah.
If you're to that level, like you're probably always serious.
But then his State Farm commercials are so awesome.
Yeah.
And he's got such, you know, Cliff Paul and Chris Paul. Like, those were, it was a great campaign. But yeah, he does.
That's like a perfect window into who he is as a basketball player. He is supposed to be too serious.
Mr. Like fundamentals and.
Yeah, like can't have fun, barks at teammates.
Yeah, yeah.
Tough guy.
And he wears teammates down. Like, I heard the rift between him and Blake, which Blake was just like, I'm tired of
it. Leave me alone.
Yeah, man, I just want him to go on the beach.
And now he's in Detroit.
Right? Like, with Stan Van Gundy.
And they're losing.
Well, Van Gundy, like when DeMar dunked on them a couple of nights
when
ago.
When he buried Anthony Tolliver?
And Van Gundy was going to strangle Griffin because Griffin.
Did you see Griffin?
He ducked
just went
out.
To the left and he's like, I'm not dealing with this.
I'm not trying to be on that loop forever on the internet.
I watched that and I'm like, what the hell was that guy doing
he
there?
He bailed on it. That's exactly what he said. I'm not doing it.
He went the wrong direction.
He went the right direction because he didn't want to be posterized.
That's right.
And be on a top 10 list for the next 25 years.
It was
years.
Tough to watch.
Tolliver may have had wanted to fight him in the dressing room or the locker room afterwards.
Yeah, you killed me there.
Yeah, you killed me. And just what was it? A couple days before was Wesley Johnson.
Oh my God.
with the James
that's
Harden.
Worse.
Oh, that is worse.
You think so? But,
that's really bad.
Yo, for like 10 seconds, he was laying on the ground, on the court. Hands.
Yeah, no, I know. But DeMar, like
that's break your ankles. Like that's a meme forever.
But yeah, DeMar, it was more aggressive, like body to body, two hands.
End to end, and yeah, that gave them the lead with like 5 seconds left or whatever.
We've seen dunks. Like, we see crazy dunks all the time. We don't see guys get crossed like that.
True, yeah.
Where and you, then, like, fall down, and he stares you down.
Right, right.
And just hits the shot.
The stare down is and such then, like, a great move.
Like, minutes later, both Wikipedia pages are updating with, like, their RIP dates. The internet is the most cruel place, but also the best place.
It's so true about Wikipedia, the updates, they're so quick. Like, who's
doing that? You gotta get a screen cap like right away. Yeah. Or wait 10 minutes and then it's updated and get that screen cap.
I wish we had that in hockey.
What's that?
Where if like you cross a guy or like, I don't know.
Well, what are you gonna do? Stop on a breakaway and look back?
It'd be amazing.
What are you gonna do?
Just, I mean, more personality would be fun.
That used to happen with fights. If a guy knocked a guy out and he did something, but then in the hockey culture, you're not allowed to pretend like you got the belt or fire up the crowd or anything like that.
Well, somebody used to do the belt.
Domi used to do it all the time.
Okay, right.
Remember Domi when he fought Probert first at MSG, did the belt and everything. That kind of put him on the map.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah.
You fight Probert.
And he's a legend because of that.
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely. But different world now. Cabby again, his interview with Bill Murray, it will debut tonight on SportsCenter, and I'm assuming it'll be all over websites and TSN.
Yeah, it'll be on like
Instagram,
the Instagram. Yeah, TSN's Instagram account. It'll be on YouTube and TSN.ca.
Sweet.
It's at 6:00 p.m. Are we friends again, Jeff? Or are we?
What happened between you two guys?
Oh, we're friends. You're just doing something that you should have consulted me about.
What's that again?
He's getting married.
That's. Listen.
You gotta smarten up, Cab.
There's still time. There's still time for us to have a conversation.
I'm happily married, so you can talk to me, dude. Yeah, you talk to me, and I'll take care of you. Okay. We'll get
just
you
don't,
the storm.
Just do me one favor, though. When you don't like it, don't tell me about it. I told you
you're so jaded.
You're not the shoulder to cry on,
you're
Jeff.
So you're so jaded.
Oh, okay.
Aren't the ones.
Look at you. Look at this guy right
there. Don't come crawling to me when you're
right. Okay. All right, Cab. Good seeing you, man.
Thanks so much for having me, fellas.
There's Cabby again. Catch his interview with Bill Murray tonight, 6 p.m. on SportsCenter, and then find it online, Instagram, Twitter, the whole nine. Big game tonight. Rockets, Raps. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. We'll tee it up throughout the afternoon. Leafs in action tomorrow night. Some Jose Bautista news. We'll tell you about that next. Patrick Laine on fire as well. He's got 14 goals in his past 10 games. We'll tell you more about that. Jose Bautista, still unsigned, still a free agent, still refusing to retire. But we're a couple of weeks into spring training here, and it doesn't sound like he's that close to signing anywhere. And now we've got competing reports out there. John Heyman came out originally, MLB Insider, and said he doesn't think there's anything out there for Bautista, and he's likely going to retire. And then Jeff Passan from Yahoo reached out to Bautista, and Jose said, actually, he's mulling over a bunch of offers. He's just trying to figure out if it's going to work for him.
Don't you think an American League team, like, who could use a DH/right fielder? Like,
the Rays keep coming up.
It makes, like, some sense. Like, he could...
He had a really bad year last year. There's no denying
it. He still hits for a little power.
22 bombs last year. A couple years ago, he had an OPS, I believe, over 800. You know, and he's 37, and he's Jose Bautista. He's been around forever. But he's also a big personality.
Yeah, that's the tough part.
With an ego.
Like, would he be comfortable playing once a week, twice a week, pinch hitting?
I'm not convinced he would be. I think there's an element of respect that he's looking for in terms of the dollar amounts, in terms of the...
It's not about respect for him anymore. It's about, does he want to keep living the dream in the big leagues and traveling around? I think Big Papi, he still performed right till the end. But there was an element to him where he just loved being in the big leagues. Like,
but do you think, like, in hockey...
For whatever reasons those are, nobody knows, but...
But if you played on the first line for your whole career, and then suddenly like, you're either fourth liner or you're done, are you going to be comfortable being a fourth liner?
I did that. It's not that
hard?
Cool. Yeah.
Right. So...
But that's the only option.
I know, like, but I just can't see him.
That's what you have to weigh. It's like, that's not that cool, but I either do that or I do nothing.
Well, that's what he's dealing with, but I got to be honest.
I don't think this guy's going to go sell cars.
No, I don't think he doesn't have to, right? Like, he didn't hit the $150 million deal, but he still made millions and millions and millions of dollars. And he can come up to Toronto for the rest of his life and make 10 grand in a weekend by signing some autographs downtown. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to make money forever, but not this kind of money. But I'm not I'm not completely convinced that there are all these offers out there for him.
That's what you say, though, to make sure that there are offers.
You try to...
Isn't that what you do?
Get like a marketplace going.
There's interest.
You know, he's coming off a bad year. He's a big personality. He's got some ego. He can only play in the American League. He's not going to the National League, so that's cut off. He can't play defensively all the time. He can't. So...
I guess he could be a first baseman if he went to the
National League. He maybe could be, but he doesn't have experience at playing first. So
he's played a little bit for Toronto.
Not really. He's played third base a little bit at times, but he was predominantly a right fielder. So we'll see what happens with Bautista. I wouldn't mind seeing him continuing to play because it was kind of a fizzled out end to his career here.
Imagine going from demanding 150 sheets. What would a deal look like if someone decided to go?
Oh, we're talking maybe $1 million. Like maybe $1 million. Maybe less than that, quite frankly. Like they have all the leverage over Bautista.
Yeah.
Ray Ferraro coming up, and Sean Foley, the former swing coach for Tiger Woods, he'll join us at 6:30.